Good evening and welcome to KCEO Radio, AM 1000. This is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you from Southern California. And today's a beautiful day in Southern California. We do have this program put together here at 11th Hour Ministries for studying the Bible, revering our Lord, acknowledging God and His power in our lives, and the value of having a one-on-one relationship with our Lord through the Bible, the true Word of God, and how blessed we are to be able to read our Bibles and understand that God loves us so much that He sacrificed His only Son and that Jesus shed His blood for all mankind and all of our sin. And so here tonight at the 11th Hour Ministries, this program has been put together. We don't have sponsors. We don't ask for your money. And we actually do consider this program for 1 hour to be what we say is a miracle in motion. The reason why we say that is with the Word of God being read specifically and exactly from the Bible, that God is alive and well in the Bible, through the Bible, and works in our lives, does His best work through direct Scripture. I've seen many different instances where people give their own opinions and churches that go on to give their opinion of what God is trying to say through the Bible, or there's some churches that even want the congregation to come through the head of the church in order to get to God. And that's not at all what our Father wants from us. God wants a one-on-one relationship with us. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He wants one-on-one, hand-in-hand, walking every day, loving our Lord, talking to Him, walking with Him, going through our struggles and battles and happy and sad and everything. He wants to experience our lives with Him all day, every day. And so again, here we are at the 11th Hour Ministries, KCEO Radio, AM 1000, Southern California, and we're here to study the mystery of the gospel. The reason why we don't take any money and we don't have any sponsors is that we just want to honor our Father God here on the KCEO Radio, AM 1000. We absolutely love the Word of the Lord, and it's meant so much to so many people. And we've seen so many different lives change because of the Word. So, once again, this hour is donated and dedicated to our Father God for how awesome He is, and we just want to share His true love and His Word. So, we'd like to open with a prayer tonight, and that is, Father God, please forgive us all for the sins that we've committed to this moment in time. God, when we come to You, just like we would go to a dinner table, let us cleanse ourselves first. Wash our hands or wash our souls clean of the sin. So if we bring to mind our sin that we've committed to this moment in time, and ask God that You would forgive us, that we all fall short, God, that we'd never do want to purposely hurt You. And we ask You to forgive the sins for all the people who are listening, God, tonight, including myself, so that, God, we can then ask You to open our eyes and ears and minds and souls and spirits and hearts for Your truth, God. So many times in our lives we have blinders on, or we're too pride-filled or arrogant, or for whatever reason, the sin of man or the sin of choice that we have is what blocks us from understanding You, God. And so we ask, God, that each person listening tonight, that every knee on this planet Earth will drop to You, God, in reverence to You and in submission to You. 6.5 billion people, and we truly here believe at the 11th Hour Ministries, God, that with Your miracle in motion, Your true Word, that every knee will bow. And God, we see so many people moving toward You in this modern day age. It's so clear that it's time for this world in all of the crazy things that we see out there, but also, God, that there's a giant separation taking place now where either people are heading toward You or drifting away, and it's become more of a clear separation. And God, we just ask that You would bless all the people who are listening tonight to have whatever on their hearts would be the purpose for Your Word to be read tonight, that the people's ears would hear the things You want heard. And we love Your Scripture, God. We know it's the pure truth, and there's no other way of life without following Your directions, decrees, and commands. And we pray for all this in the name of Jesus, our brother. Amen. Okay, so here at the 11th Hour Ministries tonight, I have a question for all the folks listening. We actually had This week, I was watching the Dr. Phil program, which, once again, as we have said in the past, I'm very fond of Dr. Phil. It's just my opinion that if he were to incorporate scripture into his philosophy and his insight, that he would be a great, great tool for the Lord and have a tremendous impact in this world. And I personally believe he probably does have a great heart for God. Trouble is that standard media and bureaucracy and red tape is difficult for him to sell the dedication to the Word of God or the Bible because of who he may isolate. So Dr. Phil does a great job, but the purpose of my comment here with Dr. Phil is that there was a woman on his program who had been taking prescription medication, and this woman was in a grave state of life. She actually was taking 27,000 milligrams of drugs a day. 27,000 milligrams of prescription drugs a day. And so what we know is that in life we can abuse certain sins of choice, whether it be immorality or drugs or anger or whatever type of particular sin that we focus on. This person just so happened to have been going to an excess using drugs to, in my opinion, it was her painkiller for trying to cure the pain inside of her that nothing and no one could get to help soothe. And so what was really amazing to me is that this woman went on to pour out her heart and soul pretty much in prime time television. And Dr. Phil had a great idea and a great approach, which was to try to get her in a place where she can be evaluated and try to figure out what all her troubles were and try to sort out from her past, etc. So he takes a very clinical approach to this lady's problems, and the anthem of the program, or the standard of the program when he has people like this on it, is that he has a recovery center, a drug recovery center or whatever of that sort, available to these people who are so challenged. And he offers them the ability to check into a drug rehab center and try to help them. Well, it's a standard that I've seen over on his program many times. And the comment from Dr. Phil, and the thing that blew me away, is that Dr. Phil said to this woman, if you're willing to change, if you want to change, and here she was crying her eyes out, pouring her heart out. You could tell how much pain she was in, destroying her family, just everything negative, and it was so painful of an affair for her. He said that if you are willing to allow us to check your bags so we're sure you don't have any drugs on you now, and that you will get immediately on a plane and fly directly to this drug rehab center and don't pass go, don't collect $200, in other words, that they'll put her there, pay for it, and that she would have the luxury of staying there for as long as it takes until she gets her problems straight. Well, she accepted, and thank God for that, because without a question, she needed a great deal of help. But what's interesting about it to me is that normally they take about a 3-month period, a 2 to 3 month period for the folks that go through this Dr. Phil show to go to these places and be evaluated, help them sort their issues out and things of that nature. And as I sat there and watched the program, I thought to myself, there's a woman named Lisa who, if for the folks who have listened in the past here, for the last 2 months, 2.5 months, she called into this radio program. The Word of God was read to her. The love of God was shared with her. And I compare Lisa to this woman on the Dr. Phil program, and pretty much I would put them on a scale and say they were both in just as much pain as each other. They were both in a very desperate place in life. They were both grasping for, a floating device, so to speak, as if they were kind of drowning. And the irony of it is that in Dr. Phil's program's case, he had planned anywhere from, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, however long it would take for this woman to go to a clinic and get evaluated and all these type of things. And there's a woman named Lisa who call the program that is stewarded by a person who's only been saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. There's no magic wand here. My name is Mark. I just work here. The scripture is what does the work. God's word does miracles and miraculous healing. And in an instant, in the snap of a fingers, this woman's life was transformed. Her life cannot and will not ever be the same. This lady went from such despair. She said that her life, every day she got out of bed, it was like she wanted to commit suicide. This is something that she said freely on the program. But she was in such pain and such anguish that she didn't want to live. And now, every day she gets out of bed, she can't wait to see what blessings God has in store for her. And the only difference between the woman on the Dr. Phil program and this woman, Lisa, who there's how many Lisas of there are on this planet, I was her. I was just like Lisa. I was so hungry and thirsty for the truth. And I had gone to the clinics. I'd gone to the doctors. Well, this is where the scripture and finding a great, awesome one-on-one relationship with the Lord has transformed her life, as it did mine and many people that I know, on the turn of a dime to be never, ever the same. When we submit, when we finally say uncle in our lives and we stop doing things our own way and stop doing things in our own will, and we realize that there's a God and he's real and he wants, the Bible says our God is a jealous God and that he will get what he wants. We can't get God to do what we want him to do. We have to learn how to submit our lives to God, how to surrender ourselves to God, how to learn to read his precepts, his commands, and what he wants, how he wants us to live our lives in accordance with his word and his truth and his honor, and he will super bless our lives. He will bless the socks off you. The thing is that God is just waiting for every single one of us that was like that lady on the Dr. Phil program to turn to him, read the scripture, fall to our knees in submission to him, and you know what? It didn't cost her a dime. This lady who went to this clinic, I think there's, you know, in the $100,000 range by the time you spend 6 months in one of these places. But it ain't cheap. And the irony of it is, do they really get to the pure core of pain? No. The fact of the matter is, if we don't do the work according to the Bible and delve into God's word and learn his commands for our lives, which are all, by the way, awesome. The Bible doesn't say go beat your neighbor up. The Bible doesn't say take advantage of each other, rob, steal, rape, pillage. I mean, come on, this is crazy. You know, the Bible clearly instructs us to be gentle, kind, loving, awesome human beings, to love one another as I have loved you. The Bible says whatever measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's just so awesome. Love one another as I have loved you. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, this is, you know, this, the Bible is, it tells us not to lie, not to steal, not to cheat, not to take advantage of the weak ones in our society, to be self-controlled. Imagine that. Self-control. Where do they teach that anywhere outside the Bible? I mean, the bottom line is that when I saw the program with Dr. Phil, and I've seen the witness of the woman named Lisa and how her life has transformed in the last going on 3 months now, there is absolutely no denying whatsoever that our God is real. He's awesome. When you do things according to his will, when you operate your body, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, when you open yourself up to our God and his truth and you absorb the Bible, when you're so hungry and thirsty and you read the Bible and you wear what it tells you to do on your heart and you actually do the work, which is another step that we'll get into, that God will forever bless your life, not only on earth, but for all of eternity. And so that's the reason for the hour that we put together here at the 11th Hour Ministries. And we are so grateful to our God. There's so many people that are coming to understand more of the Lord. And one of the other purposes for this program is there's too many opinions on this planet. I actually, am 46 years old, grew up with asking friends and family and pastors and priests, you know, how to guide myself through this world. I realized that there's one set of rules that is already provided for me on exactly what I am to do to behave, how I should think, act, go on to walk through this world. And when I finally was able to understand by someone telling me, read the Bible, take a chance in life. What do you got to lose, right? So I sit down, I read this book called the Bible, and the first scripture I read is in Corinthians, and it talks about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrongs. And I thought, you know, I always thought I knew what love was, but if you can take that scripture and find some place in there that isn't super accurate on exactly how to be a very positive influence in a relationship of love, in a marriage, a friendship, as a neighbor, as a citizen of this world, it applies to everyone in every circumstance, and there's nothing, it's flawless. Flawless. And I read that one scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. Keeps no record of wrongs. Now, and it goes on. So when I read the scripture and I realized that I thought I knew what love was, we all have our own impression or you know, the design of what we think love is, and our own man-made, contrived, or conceived idea. But there's a definition of love. So when we want to find a definition of a word, we go to the dictionary. And we find out all the possibilities of, you know, how that word can be used or what it means. Well, that's what the Bible is. It gives us the ability to go in and do the research on how to do it successfully, on how to understand what love is, how to apply love to each other, how to do the right things in our lives in that category. And there's a bazillion categories. And so the Bible itself is God's gift. It's been handed off to others as a chore in churches. There's people who don't even want the Bible to be studied in churches. I mean, I don't want to talk about what's wrong with how we don't get there. Let's talk about the fact that God has given us a gift called the Bible. It's a miracle in motion. The Word of God through the Bible and the words of Christ in the Bible are miracle in motion every day. Every time you read the Word of God, and you apply the Word of God to your life, you know too much and you can never turn back. So exactly what does that mean? There's a for instance. The promise from God is, and let's think about this in a very interesting way. The promise from God is that when we read the Word, when we follow the Word, when we do the work according to the Bible and the Scripture, when we commit our lives to the Lord, when we drop to our knees in submission or give over our own will and let God do what He has, His master designed for our lives, He promises that we'll never be the same. And so we have an option of going through our lives on our own will and our own understanding versus to apply the gift of God's Word to us. And when we read Scripture and we allow it to be absorbed into us, every single time we read Scripture, it changes our lives forever, and we can never be the same. So the more we read our Bibles, the more we understand God and His will, and the more we can never go backwards. You know too much. And that's what's ironic about our Lord. Just imagine, here's proof of what I'm speaking of. If I say Twin Towers, or if I say 911, there are images for anyone who was anywhere near the events that took place that day that come popping into your head, into your mind, that are so vivid and so strong and powerful, and try to, when I say Twin Towers, not think of something attached to that day. Try to not have the image of those buildings crumbling, or the people jumping out windows, or, you know, the death and destruction, or the humanity, the people who came to the rescue, the love of the godly people and God-hearted people who came to try to help. You know, you can't, because you know too much. Your eyes have seen. And so just like that same scenario in our hearts, what we have to know is that when we read our Bible, when we go to the scripture, God sets into us and sets into our hearts the same impact, far greater actually of an impact, but, you know, just as an analogy is, just imagine if I can say Twin Towers and all the things that come rushing back into your mind. What about when you do the work and you read your Bible and you follow the commands of the Lord and you do the right things, and someone says the word Jesus? You know what happens? All the awesome images that your eyes have gone across the page and read every scripture, you wear it in your heart and it never leaves you. You know too much. God instills it into us. And that's what's so awesome about how we can be transformed from a person who's lost and in pain, quote unquote. Go back to the Dr. Phil show. This is a woman who, I can assure you, where when Lisa called this radio program and then the word of God was read to her and scripture was read to her, it had nothing to do with this guy behind the microphone. It's God's word. It's his truth. And it is awesome and it's miraculous and it changes lives. And that's what has made this lady ready now, this next coming weekend, to move out of her area that she has lived in for so long, because of, she wants to change her environment. She wants to change her actual location so that she can start a new life, because she has become a new creation and she wants to see what God has awaiting her. She went off into the newspaper to look for a place to live hundreds of miles away, found people who were so welcoming to her, and everything so was just so keenly arranged that only God could have, you know, done what he's done for her to promote her new existence. I mean, this lady's awesome. She's on fire. She's scared. There's issues in life. I mean, we all still have to, you know, kind of walk with some trepidation when we're little baby Christians and we just start off on our journey. But she knows too much. She's been baptized, as the Bible tells us to be baptized, by immersion. She has read her Bible. She is hungry and thirsty for the truth. The Bible says, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for the truth, because they will be filled. And she's hungry and thirsty. I can assure you, that same woman on the Dr. Phil program, who, if someone would love her enough and have enough knowledge of the Bible to sit down with her and share true scripture and pure Bible teachings and Jesus, the love of Jesus, the love of our God with her, just like that, she'd be transformed. And that's the promise of our God. Some people it takes longer to get, you know, to that type of place because they're not as hungry and thirsty and in that much pain. But when I see someone in that much pain, there's no question I was there. And that's how I can assure you that that's true. There's a song that Lisa had, that meant a lot to Lisa here. She's going off on a new journey in her life. And this, here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we're just so thankful to our Father God that this woman has become part of our lives. She's become a very close personal friend of my family. She has joined us at the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside, which is the church I happen to attend, where God is alive and well. She's felt the love of God in this building every day she's walked in there, including today. She has tears of joy, tears of just relinquishing all of this heavy load. The Bible says, lay it at the feet of the cross, all your burden. My burden is to be laid at the foot of the cross as far as Jesus is concerned, and let him carry the burden. Let him help us figure out how to get our way through this world. And so we're so proud of Lisa, and we're so thrilled, and we pray that God would just keep on blessing her in a great way. This is a song that she wanted to have us play on the way on their new journey in life. So here we go. Amen. Amen. No question, our God loves you. And we just hope that that song is an inspiration to many. And we pray that this program and the words that are spoken according to the scripture here, that they move people's lives. We're here to share God's truth and have people's lives changed. Those who are in pain, those who have difficult relationships, those who feel a void in their hearts that can't be filled no matter what direction you turn, in painkiller, drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, and so many different ways that we try to appease ourselves as humans. And the irony of it is that all roads lead to the one source of peace, and that is the peace of Christ and the Bible. And so what we do know here is, you know, we need to ask ourselves, what do we do when we're in the time of crisis? A woman that was once on our program, Kim Tower, I was speaking to her the other day, and she had challenges in her life. She said she tried to call out to 10 different people. This is a woman who loves God, reads her Bible, goes to church, does the things that God asks. And she called out to some 10 people trying to get some answers on a difficult day that she was having, and no one answered the phone. And she realized that what God was saying to her, and this is a quote from her, "Come to the throne before you go to the phone. Come to the throne before you go to the phone." You know, which in essence means that God, you know, let's turn to God in our time of need. Let's turn to Him in our, when we're happy, you know, let's walk in hand with our Father and express our joy with Him. And He wants to experience our lives with us all day, every day. We don't just go to church Sunday morning, show up, sit, stand, kneel, eat a cookie and roll. I mean, this is, you know, this is real life. This is the way that God wants our lives to be transformed for His glory and His honor. But we benefit. Everybody benefits. The whole world benefits when we talk about peace on earth and the way that God would have, you know, His children behave with each other and things of this nature. And so what we do know is, what's the definition of a Christian? You know, when we try to define what a Christian is, we have to understand we can play the part. We can act on an outward way to fool all of mankind, including ourselves, as to what a true Christian person is, but we're not fooling God, and deep down inside, we know we're not getting past Him. If we're not going to church every week, as much as we possibly can get into His home, or the churches where the gathering of His people are, if we're not reading our Bibles on a regular, consistent, hungry, thirsty basis, if we're not joining the activities of God's home and His people and fellowship and Bible studies and going to church and having some good quality God time in our minds and our prayers and our hearts and thoughts and souls, and to be praying to God all day, every day, and thinking of Him and reading our Bible, trying to learn more, you know, that's the way that a true Christian, that's the definition of a Christian, and to let God's light shine through you, to let God's use you as His vehicle or vessel to share His truth and His love with others. And not only does that get us an awesome, successful human experience on earth, but it also gets us to heaven forever. And we get to share God's truth and His love forever and ever in heaven. And so, you know, we talk about here at the 11th Hour Ministries that we're keeping it real. And we're, you know, there's a lot of couch potato Christians. There's a lot of people who, we call it keeping it real. If we're not here to tickle anyone's ears, the fact of the matter is that Lisa heard the truth, and or many people like her. And, you know, when I was finally ran out of gas in my own life and ran down every dark alley and banged into every dead-end street and tried everything on the planet Earth to try to have what I considered to be my fun time, or, you know, I would go to bars and I mean, there's a lot of different things that I tried to do to find what identified me. You know, the question is, what is your mission statement? What's your personal mission statement? What on earth do you think you're on this planet Earth for? Do you think that you need to be just an accountant or an attorney or a doctor and live in a big fancy house and drive a Mercedes and, you know, beat the Joneses and, you know, 2.2 kids and a picket fence and a little doggy out front and it's all good? Just hang out, have fun, be nice to each other, and you get planted? No. There's much, much more to it. And the point is that it's an internal journey. We have to find out what our purpose is in life. And God puts people in our lives. This woman, Lisa, spoke about how her life was going on, and by not paying attention to the things that God was putting in her life, how much she didn't realize by not paying attention or not turning to the Lord. And now, that's why we talk about new eyes, new ears, new heart, new soul, new mind, new spirit. God makes us a new creation when we submit our lives to Him, when we turn our lives over to Him, when we read our Bibles and follow His Word. And it's awesome. It's fun. It's way cool. Jesus is way cool. God is way cool. The society has always put this little bit of a stigma when I grew up about that, you know, it wasn't hip or it wasn't cool to read your Bible or talk about God and to you know, share that with your friends or to be so open and genuine and sensitive and to delve into the topic of love on such a, you know, imagine two wrestlers when I grew up as a wrestler and here, you know, stand on the next to some burly wrestler and start talking about God's love and Jesus and this and that. Well, it is awesome. And I didn't realize it. And I robbed myself by not knowing better or not going to it sooner, but it's okay. God has used my life now to the things I went through to get where I am, to help me pay attention to what I don't want. My mission statement, I know, A, if you can't figure out the things you want in life, at least figure out the things you don't want. Let's start there. I mean, you know, there is a way of having a life that's in harmony with God and His Scripture and His Word and His teachings and His miracles. And the miracle in motion. Be a part of the miracle in motion. Blow your own mind. Have more fun. Have more energy. Have more joy and excitement in your life. And yeah, there's pain and, you know, tragedy and turmoil. And, you know, but God gives us the understanding of how to go through all things when we know Him better. But what, at least if you're at the point of back, you know, swaying back and forth about this whole God thing and the topic and the Bible and church and, you know, figure out what you don't want. Who are the people in your life that are negative, who bring you down, who are really damaging or deterrent to your forward movement or progress? Think about the things that you do that are unproductive or harmful to others. You know, clean yourself from your, create your own mission statement, your own personal mission statement. Decide in your life, what is your existence for? What are you here for? You know, the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Can you imagine it truly is? That it's such a blessing to be able to give someone from your heart, not necessarily money, give someone your time. Give somebody the time of day. What on earth are we doing driving off freeways, cutting each other people in traffic, cutting each other off in cars, trying to go to where? You're going to be 5 minutes late to the office? So a person who, if you were in the room with them and you know, the different circumstances were different, you would never be so rude or mean or, you know. And isn't that ironic that we all get caught in this silly little rat race called life and we've lost touch with the purpose? We're here to share God's love. We're here to share God's truth, every single one of us. And the more that we do share it, the more peace comes to us. And that's the main ingredient. You can't have the peace of God, the peace of Christ, without doing the works that He says to do. Don't kid yourself. Don't let anybody else whisper in your ears and tell you sweet nothings, because it's a lie. It's not going to happen, and it can't happen, and it won't happen. And this may be something that you hear years ago, you know, that you finally pay attention to years down the trail. Hopefully not, but there are scriptures that clearly indicate exactly what I'm talking about. And that's the key. There's no peace except the peace of Christ. And We all know too much when we read our Bibles, when we follow the Word of God. You know, 911, Twin Towers, Jesus Christ, God, the Bible, Scripture. When you learn the Scripture in your heart and you wear it on your heart and you strive for God's truth, there will never be a question left as to what our purpose is, and God will show us, if we ask Him, what our mission statement is that He has for our lives, and what on earth better plan could we ever make for ourselves better than God has already designed for us. This is Nahum in the Bible, and I'm going to read some scripture from a book called Nahum. It's a very obscure book in the Bible. The Lord's anger against Nahum. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on His foes and maintains His wrath against His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before Him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at His presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand His indignation? Who can endure His fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before Him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. But with an overwhelming flood, He will make an end to Nahum. He will pursue His foes into darkness. Whatever they plot against the Lord, He will bring it to an end. Trouble will not come a second time. They will be entangled among thorns and drunk from their wine. They will be consumed like dry stubble. From you, O Nahum, has come one forth, who plots evil against the Lord and counsels wickedness. This is what the Lord says. Although they have allies and are numerous, they will be cut off and pass away. Although I have afflicted you, O Judah, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break their yoke from your neck and tear your shackles away. The Lord has given a command concerning Nahum. You will have no descendants to bear your name. I will destroy the carved images and cast idols that are in the temple of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are vile. Look there on the mountains, the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. Celebrate your festivals, O Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you, and they will be completely destroyed. Well, you know, the Bible tells us in so many places, you know, it's the good guys bad versus the bad guys, basically. And, you know, our God is awesome. He loves us so much, and there is no mistaking the Scripture and what direction we are to turn or go in this world. God has just become so available to us by media, and you know, we have Bibles. We're freely able to read our Bibles on the radio. We can share our Bibles. There are places in this world where people get killed for even mentioning the word God, and here we are. We have this awesome freedom. And what do we do with it? How do we show our appreciation to God? Do we give Him our first fruits? Do we show our God how much we care and how grateful we are that He's in our lives? Do we give Him a half-hearted effort? Do we show everyone up every once in a while at His house for Easter or Christmas and begrudgingly crawl in there and can't wait to get out the door? And that's not what God wants from us. God wants our attention. He wants our love. He wants our first fruits. He wants to know that He's number uno in our lives, number one, all day, every day. That means read our Bibles, fellowship with others, share his love. And as we talked about before, keep in mind, it's really, really interesting, is that if you look up the word peace in the Bible, it is mentioned in, I can't even imagine how many places, but probably 1,000. But this is what Jesus says in the Bible about peace. Matthew 10:34, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And the reason why Jesus says that is because he wants to separate his followers and his believers from those who don't. And he's not making any mince words about it, right? And so what he also, though, says to us is that he wants the peace in our hearts of his. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Let's go into some scripture here and find out. You know, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And again, in John 20:19, peace be with you, says Jesus. And that's the one where peace comes from. Here we go. In John 20:21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. God is the one who gives us peace in our hearts. The peace of the Lord is what transforms our hearts. And our God is awesome. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to take two calls. We have Josephine on line one, and we also have Lisa that we're going to take the calls from, both young ladies. Hello, Josephine, and hello, Lisa.
Hello, Josephine. Hello, Mark.
Well, hi, Mark. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, kids.
The Lord bless you both. What a wonderful group of scriptures, and just a great joy it is to hear you talking about the love of the Lord and the peace of the Lord. And isn't it just wonderful to be in the family of God?
In the family of God. You know, Bible says, who are our mothers and our brothers and our sisters and fathers? Those who follow the commands of our Lord. That's who our brothers, mothers, fathers, and can you imagine?
Amen.
And when you said, Mark, you know, I'm like in tears here, because there's so much I have to share. But when you said earlier that, you know, if you're sinning against people, you know, my greatest sin was against myself. And I was hurting myself. And I even sat and had a cup of coffee with Edith today, and I'm like, you know, it's drugs, it's alcohol, it's the people I let into my life. It's, and why do I do that? Why do I hurt myself? But God has put me somewhere else. And I have people who love me. And I know without a doubt that they love me.
Well, and Lisa, keep in mind, is today at the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside here in Southern California, if you folks ever have a chance, the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside, it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal house of God. Lisa was there today, and you know, you can just feel God when you walk in the door. But you know, Pastor Mike today, speaking about Joseph in the Bible, and the scripture that he went on to was just absolutely phenomenal. But here's one thing that he brought up, Lisa, was that Joseph accepted that God's purpose was greater than his circumstances. And
wow.
Imagine that. You know, God's purpose was greater than his circumstances. Here's a guy that gets thrown in a pit, sold by his family. You know, he got accused of adultery. I mean, you know, there can't be more different things that happened to a righteous man on the planet Earth that he didn't deserve, and was falsely accused and, you know, falsely attacked and every kind of thing. And all he ever did was keep a pure heart, kept a happy will, because he believed that God had a purpose for his life. And he didn't stumble into self-pity and all this crazy stuff. But you know what he did? He says that Joseph accepted that God's purpose is greater than his own circumstances that he was in at that time. And how we know that to be true is Romans 8:28 in the format that Pastor Mike had put out in the church today and some of his message notes is, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And Lisa, you've been called according to his purpose. And just because that you have certain circumstances in your life that may not seem to be very clear or of your will, you have to. We literally are called to accept that God has a purpose for our lives greater than our circumstances. And you know what's really ironic about it? Is that when we give God, it's a matter of... when we pay attention to God, pay attention, guess what happens? We get paid back by him.
And he talks directly to you.
Yeah, but see, isn't it funny that we have to pay attention? How much does attention cost? Well, guess what? If you don't want God to give you his word, his complete understanding, you know, the Bible says we can have all the wisdom that ever was and ever will be. So if we know the Lord Jesus and we follow the commands of our God, in our hearts, God will give us the wisdom of King Solomon. Well, the point is, first we have to pay attention, don't we? Can we just sit around and go, okay, God, hook me up. You know, I'm all good. You know, I just deserve it. You know, and wait for him to zap us with a magic wand? No. It's very simple. We need to turn our lives over to Jesus. We need to turn toward him, right, Lisa? We have to stop going down the same old trails that we had been going down. We need to stop doing the same things we had done before. We need to repent, which the Bible says, is to turn away from our bad behavior. Very simple. Mm-hmm. Stop being the knucklehead. Quit going and doing stupid things. Quit doing mean things. Quit being, you know...
Quit hurting yourself.
And that's even one thing, Lisa, that, you know, when there's no love without God's love. You know, when you say hurting yourself, there's people who cut themselves with stones in the Bible. It's called the demon-possessed man. He says, my name is Legion, for we are many, because he's demon-possessed. He's riddled with demons because of the bad behavior. When we have bad things that we continually promote in our lives, we continually invite the darkness into our lives and separate ourselves from God. And the more sin we do, the more bad things we do, the more we ride that dark horse, the more we separate ourselves from God. And guess what happens? That's hurting ourselves. I mean, why on earth would we separate ourselves from the greatest giver of love there ever was or will be, or the greatest giver of truth and light? The Bible says, the Bible teaches us that all things hidden will be revealed, all things brought to the light. God can bless. God can't. He won't bless anything in darkness. He's going to bless something in secret or in, you know, in slippery sneakiness. He's not going to bless it.
Based on scripture, Brother Mark, that a lot of people read, it's about that guilt and condemnation, you know, that we feel so terrible about. And it says, you know, that scripture, they all read it and they say, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and they stop there. But we don't want to stop there, because it says, it goes on to describe how we are in Christ Jesus and how we are free from guilt and condemnation, and that is by walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh.
Amen.
Mark, let me remind, because I know people are listening. I've told them to listen. They've told me they're listening. I know they are, and I feel impressed to say Justine was baptized at the age of 7. Mark was baptized 10 years ago.
36.
I was baptized August 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So you have three different levels of struggle, of belief,
amen,
of the gifts of God, of the understanding. I mean, I struggle for those of you who are out there, and I know you're listening, that you're out there and you think, not me. It's like Satan works in my life all the time still. He's still trying to convince me that God is not the way. That today at the Lighthouse Church, the pastor said, and it's totally, I mean, every time it struck a chord with me, I would look up and I swear he was looking right at me. And I thought, okay, who told him to preach this to me out of 200 people today? But like he said, you know, I'm going out to a state where I know no one. I come from a family of nine with three foster brothers. I'm going where I know no one. And he said, no one's going to be looking. You don't have to report to your mom or your dad or your spouse or your kids. Or no one's going to be looking. You can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I could. I could go out there and I could totally screw up. But you know who's looking is God.
Amen. All day, every day.
That's right.
And you know what Lisa reminds me of is, you know, that we're all, what she just said, that we're all on different levels. And you reminded me, Lisa, of 2 Peter. It's so gloriously wonderful. It says in 2 Peter, the 5th verse, it says, and starting with the 5th verse, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance or self-control, like you were talking about earlier on the show, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Please, Josephine, listen, we have a minute and a half here. And I wish we had 100 more hours to go, but I'd like to just say tonight here to wrap up things is that, you know, our God, in 1 Peter, talks about being holy and self-controlled. You know, our God, we have 2 minutes here, ladies. The Bible says that blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for the truth, for he will be filled. You know, let's just pray, God, we pray right now, God, that we have more of you and less of us, God. You know, empty us, God, of our own selves as this world is in lost darkness, and fill us with your truth and your light and your amazing love, God. Let us be selfless as a nation. Let us be selfless to each other. The love that God has put on us and the love that Lisa feels through Mark and Josephine and all the other people surrounding her, God has transformed her life. But it's your truth. It's your word. It's the Bible. It's the love of Jesus.
Amen.
So, God, we ask tonight that each person, that we just, you know, go on, God, and ask that you would allow each person to get out of their own way, to open and invite you into their lives, to be the Lord and Savior of their lives. God, we know that you're not trying to do things to us. You're just trying to do things for us. And God, if we could only stop focusing on what we don't have and appreciate the things we do have, God. We have you. We have your love. And God, the gift that you've given us. God, you say we shall not covet. Well, what on earth are we all looking over the fence and trying to figure out how to beat the Joneses for? This is the most covetous nation in the world. Let us be an example. Let your love shine through us, God. Let your light and your truth and your word be heard by this world. And we are so thankful and so grateful, God, that you came into our lives, that you shared your love in this relationships that we've built here. We pray, God, that Lisa's journey and with all the people who are listening, that we pray together that, God, you take and bless every step of her direction, and God, that every person that she comes in contact has some type of relationship with her to know you better. We love you with the love of the Lord. KCEO, 11th Hour Ministries, over and out.